Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. We are going to continue, Lord willing, here in the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Turn your Bibles there, verse number 18. That's where we'll be picking up this morning. All right. Verse number 18. The Bible says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And so we've got this little passage here that's got a whole lot to say about the last times, what people's going to do in the last times. Talks about people and the spirit of Antichrist, all those different things that really we're seeing today. And so if you notice, he starts there in verse number 18, little children, it is the last time. Now, hopefully you understand that it's been close to 2,000 years since this passage was written. But Brother Matt, ever since this was written, up till now, we have been living in the last time. And that's hard for us to understand. And Kyle, as we go along our daily lives, Kevin, I think we talked about this just a little while ago, maybe a month or two ago. It seems like the church over time, Nathaniel, has backed off of realizing that we are in the last time. And when you read the writings of this Bible, especially, you know, these New Testament epistles, it is evident from their writing that they had an understanding that just any day could be the day of Christ's return. And that they didn't have 20 years or 30 years or 60 years of life left. They lived every day in anticipation of the coming of their Lord. And yet today, we read that it's the last time, but how far removed are we from living as though it's the last time? But I want you to just look at this. Look at a few of these passages with me that teach us and tell us that. Hebrews 9, verse 24 and 20 through 26, you hopefully are familiar with verse 27. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 26, it says, well, I'll let you turn there so you believe what I'm reading. How about that? For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But look what he says. But now once. In where? The end of the world. Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So you notice Christ was the first of the last. When Christ appeared, they had an understanding that it was the last time. For those of them that accepted Christ as the Messiah, as the one that they'd been waiting on, they understood that his life meant it is the last day. It is the end of time for mankind. And so if you're here today and you don't understand that, you better get ready for the last time. You know, we read in 2 Peter, I think it was, how he said that, 1 or 2 Peter over there, where he said, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. We understand that in God's eyes, 2,000 years is just a moment. To us, it seems like an eternity. But we might be at the end of our race tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And we need to live that way. So it is the last time, and Christ was the beginning of that. And but if His first coming marked the first of the last time, guess what happens as His second comes? Marks the end of that last time. So we've got a time between His first and His second coming to make sure that we're prepared. The thing is, we don't know what day that is. And so it's very serious this morning that every one of us here lives our lives and makes decisions in a way that we understand that today could be the day. Tomorrow might be. Next, I don't know when it might be, but Tanner, every saint of God ought to have that understanding every day of their life that I'm living in the last time. This is the end of the world. We're constantly teaching that it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And we understand that doctrinally there's still some years out ahead for this world. But for the child of God, when Christ splits the sky and says, come up hither, it's done for us. We're going to be with Him forever. And so we only have till that time to do what we're going to do. And if you're a sinner here today and you've never been born again, you better make sure that you make your decision for the Lord Jesus Christ before that happens. We'll look at some more passages that talk a little more about that here in a minute. 1 Peter 1:20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in what? These last times for you. We understand that Christ marked that beginning. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Over, you get the drift. Over and over, these writers are saying, we're living in the end of the end of the end. And they believed it then, John. Why do we not believe it more so now? You know, Paul, I use this all the time, but Paul, every day, he said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
Right.
Every day he understood, marked another day that Christ's coming was sooner. It was a little closer. It was a little closer. 1 Peter 4, verse number 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You understand? It's a serious thing.
Yep.
And yet we live our lives day to day. We make plans for tomorrow. We make plans for a month from now. A plan for a year from now. Hey, I've got plans for 30 years from now.
Sure.
The reality is I don't live my life in a way that depicts that I really believe that Christ is coming soon. And I venture to say that's the truth for almost every Christian these days. We're so far removed from believing what he said. But man, when you look at the news that's going on right now, and it don't start doing something in your heart and spurring something within you, recognizing that all this is building up toward exactly what the Bible has taught us will happen, there's going to be some wars that occur over there, and Lord willing, I'm going to be out of here before a lot of that stuff happens. And so I don't know when all that stuff's going to spur, but it's building right now. And there's a lot of vows that are being made, and you just get ready. It could be today. We might get out of here today. And for those of you that are supposed to get baptized, if you don't make it to the water, it'll be okay. We'll just see you in heaven. But man alive, we need to be ready. The end of all things is at hand. Peter understood that, didn't he? But you know, all these writers that wrote those things have long since passed on. So how much closer are we today, 2,000 years later? It's a very serious thing. It is the last time. Look, with me there at the next line there in 1 John. It says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. So, I hope you all understand that there is a literal person that John titles Antichrist. We will see in just a second, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul titles him that man of sin, that wicked. He says, the son of perdition. All those titles are given to a person. And that person could very well be alive today. We do not realize how close we are to all these prophecies that are being fulfilled right before our eyes. Look with me. Go ahead and flip over there to 2 Thessalonians with me. I want you to understand. Now, John writes this in a sense that he talks a whole lot about the spirit of Antichrist that is now with them. But he at the same time understands there is a real person that is to come. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you read in the previous verses, shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's why you question why Christians today look at what's happening with the new temple. That's the reason. We understand that this man is going to put himself in there as God. And so as this temple is being talked about, this third temple, we as Christians should be anticipating and understanding that all that is doing is pointing toward what's going to happen. The inevitable. That there's going to be a man that sets himself up as God, seats himself in the place of God. And it's going to be right over there where all this stuff's happening. And so he says he's showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It was already in the works in those days. And Nathaniel, it's all just being pieced together in God's time. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, I believe that's talking about the Spirit of God. That word let in your Bible talks about restraining power. So what the Holy Ghost right now is doing is restraining some of this from happening while the church is here. But you notice it says until he be taken out of the way. So there's going to be a day that the Holy Ghost is going to be removed from this place. No longer going to abide in the hearts of mankind like he is right now. And when that happens, me and you, we can't be separated from the Holy Ghost. There's not a believer that can be separated from him. So you know what's going to happen. We're out of here. When he's taken away, guess who else is? We are. He dwells in our hearts. And Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. And he's going to be with you. And so if that's a promise of Christ, I know that I will never be separated from the Holy Ghost. So if he leaves, guess where I'm going? I'm going with him. And you're going too if you're born again. You might not believe all this, but it's still true. It does not change the fact that the Bible teaches this. And so it goes on to say, so we understand that there's a restraint right now. And God is allowing the Gentile people an opportunity, this what we call this grace age, this grace dispensation. We're all us white people that are in here are getting to hear the gospel for these 2,000 years. That's 2,000 years of grace for you and I. And I'm glad to be part of it. But man, we're right at the end of it. The door's still wide open, but there's going to be a day it's shut. And you better get in while you have a chance. But he goes on and he says, and then shall that wicked, you notice that capital W in your Bible? He's talking about a person, that wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. You know, in the Revelation, it talks about that sharp sword that goes out of his mouth.
Yes.
He's just going to consume him in an instant.
Yep.
But and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So this man that it's talking about will be empowered by Satan himself. He's after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now see, a lot of people throughout who claim to be Christians, and some of them probably are, I'm not disputing that, would say that a lot of this stuff's already come to pass. But the problem with that is, do you notice what the last part of that says? That says that they'll have all power and signs and lying wonders. And there's also some prophecies, if you want to go look over in the book of Daniel, about chapter 7 through 11. If you want to go to Revelation, chapter, I don't know, I wrote it down here, about 11 through 20. Pretty much the whole last half of the chapter. You can read all about him. And we've never seen a man like that. This world has never seen that. So don't let them fool you into thinking that all this stuff has happened. It's not happened. If you believe your Bible, it's not happened. And it's plain. This man's different than any man that we've ever seen besides, I mean, he's going to be second in greatness to only the Lord Jesus. And he's going to pull countless people away from Christ because he's going to set himself up as God. And they're going to worship him as such. And let's just pay attention as we read on. And with all deceivableness, you notice that? Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. That's what happens. If today you're here and you receive not the truth of Christ, this is you. This is you. That they might be saved. In other words, you ignored the gospel. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. That's anybody here this morning that hears the gospel. And when Christ returns and the Antichrist is revealed, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be in this verse. This is you. And for this cause shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. See, if you refuse the truth now, your help is gone. You have the grace of God right now. You better believe while you can, that all they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you're going to have pleasure in unrighteousness, Ty, I guess when you better have it. You better have it right now. There is pleasure in sin for a season. We understand that. But it's just for a short season, and it's very short-lived. Because there's going to be a day that the pleasure will be gone, and the wrath of God is going to fall. That's when this Antichrist is going to come. He's going to rule for just a few years. But then he's going to be put down real quick.
That's right.
And then we understand that after that, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven, and he's going to set foot over there on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split, and he's going to set up a rule and reign here. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. Well, you can read about that through the whole Scripture, honestly. All Scripture. Old Testament prophesies about it. I've been making notes in my reading, kingdom to come, all those things. It blesses my heart to go over there and read, and see all those prophecies of something. And how people can read their Bible and not see that so many of those prophecies have yet to be fulfilled about all the Gentiles. The Bible teaches, you know, that all nations are going to worship him. It teaches that. Have you seen that yet? I've not yet seen that. When's that going to happen? Is God going to let his prophecies fail? He will not. It's going to happen, Kristen. Whether they want to or not, they're going to worship him. And whether you want to bow now or not, you will bow before him. One of these days. The Bible is real plain that every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. To the glory of God the Father. The Bible's real plain about it. But there is, I didn't mean to dwell on that this long, but just understand that there is a literal Antichrist, a literal person that's going to come. The Bible's plain about it. It teaches it. Paul teaches it. Daniel taught it. Revelation teaches it. You go read about it, but that's not the lesson for today. That's just a little snippet. But I want you to notice that John goes on and says, in verse number 18 in 1 John chapter 2, he says, that it is the last time, and as you have already heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Even now, Kristen. Even now. That word Antichrist literally means against, in opposition of. They're against Christ. And I don't know if you've noticed, but some of you saw that little, I don't know what you call it. What was it called about Dustin? A chit-chat? Whatever it was. Y'all, how many of you seen that? You know what that is? That's a spirit of Antichrist. That's a literal example of what the spirit of Antichrist does. You know, I told my wife when she showed me that, I was like, you know, what they failed to tell in that story was that Dustin was out with, not just by himself, but had his whole family out with him. He wasn't some weird man out walking around by himself. But he had his wife, had his kids out walking around the neighborhood, and no doubt they saw that. But did they say anything about that? Not a thing. What they were trying to do was to twist what the truth was, to turn everybody against what Christ was trying to do. And you can just be sure that yet the Bible still does say, yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution. So every time the devil sees that we're out trying to do something for the Lord, you know what's going to happen? That spirit of Antichrist is going to be involved. He's going to oppose the work that God's wanting to do. And the thing is, he can't overpower the work that God wants to do. The Bible says against this church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It ain't happening. Nothing can stop the work that God has started in the church. And I'm thankful for that. But anyway, the spirit of Antichrist is even now working. And what's one of the interesting things is that John is the only one who uses the word Antichrist in your Bible, if you look that up. Only him. But he uses it about four times or so. Look at verse number 22 on down there. We read it. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. So if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, you are Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. You look on down in chapter 4, verse number 3. He says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Then look over at 2 John with me, just over about a page there in your Bible. 2 John chapter 1, verse number 7. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver, and you notice, an Antichrist. And it doesn't say the Antichrist. It says an Antichrist. So there's many Antichrists. Anybody that opposes the doctrines of Jesus, guess what they are? They're an Antichrist. They're in opposite. They're directly opposing the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's sad thing about it is, and I won't get ahead of myself. I'm gonna stop right there. Let me move on before I go too far. But he says here in 1 John, he says in the latter part of that verse, he says, whereby we know that it is the last time. Look with me at Jude chapter number 1. I get cracked up every time I say that. Jude only has one chapter, but I say it all the time. I don't know why. Jude chapter 1, verse number 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So, there's going to be mockers in the last time. We're in the last time. Today's the last time. I don't know how long it's going to last, John, but we're in it. And I hope everybody here understands it. Look with me, one of the big ones that everybody here hopefully is aware of, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you like to make lists and check things off of them, here's you a perfect one to do that with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul told Timothy, he said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves," check. "Covetous," check. "Boasters," check. "Proud," yep. "Blasphemers," yep. "Disobedient to parents," yep. "Unthankful," yep. "Unholy," yep. You understand? So you reckon we're doing real good, 100% so far, aren't we? On this is the last time. "Without natural affection." Have you ever seen such a time? You say, what is that? That's anything, any affections of mankind outside of what God has placed in them naturally. The desire of a man for a woman, desire for a woman for a man, the love of a father and mother toward their children, the love of those children toward them. Anything apart from that type of stuff, it's not natural affection. So without natural affection, we see that everywhere now. Truce breakers, false accusers. We saw that just this weekend, didn't we? False accusers. Incontinent, that means they can't control anything. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, man alive. This list we're all over it. Every part of it. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, that means people that you thought were for you that are against you. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We just hit on that, didn't we? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We all find ourselves loving the world, don't we? But we're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's a dangerous place for us to be. Having a form of godliness. Boy, I don't ever want to get here, do you? But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's scary. But we're all over that. Go in churches and they're doing all these things, and there's a form and a fashion of godliness, and everything they do makes people that are viewing, that are ignorant, look at it and think, man, they're godly, they're holy. But for those of us who've ever experienced the power of God, you go in there. And that's the way it is. A lot of emotions. No Holy Ghost. And don't care if they have Him. They're having a good time in their flesh. They don't need the Holy Ghost in their minds. That's the way they operate. And there's a lot of people out there today, and God forbid that we should ever get to that place. I don't want to be that way. He says, from such, do what? Turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, those are the magicians over there in Egypt that were opposing Moses and Aaron during the plagues, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We see that everywhere today. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In other words, they're going down one of these days. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. What a testimony. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned,
been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know what you find every time, Nathaniel, that you see these warnings of the last times? You see an admonishing of the saints to know the truth. You know how you are, we're in the last times, but we don't have to live like these last times. We should live every day like a Christian who understands it's the last time. But Delmer, I don't have to find myself in this list of people that's falling away. All the world's falling away. And that's just going to happen. But we don't have to. We can be as close today as they were 2,000 years ago. But we have to be willing to do that. So, folks, know that it is the last days. It is the last time. It's the last days of the last time, I believe. I think just any day we could be getting out of here. And we got to be ready. But we see a lot of opposition for the cause of Christ today. And just know when you see that, that's that spirit of Antichrist that's already working. And there's going to be a person that comes to reality one real thing that we see here in scriptures, and it's going to be a bad time on this earth when that happens. Look at verse 19, 1 John with me. Go back there and we'll move on. This is something that a lot of people get hung up with, but John clarifies it real good for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. You notice he's talking about Antichrist in verse 18. And what does he immediately go to in verse 19? They, who's that talking about? Antichrist. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So, in my mind, when I read this, John paints a real good picture. And he makes it real clear that people that depart from the faith, I mean, I don't know how you read that any other way. I'm not talking about somebody who messes up and sins. We understand that if somebody's caught up in a sin, we were to spiritual restore such a one, the spirit of meekness, sinning ourselves lest we also be tempted. I believe all that. But this is talking about people that just say, I quit, I'm done with it. I depart. I'm against it, whatever. Somebody that said, I used to do that church thing, but I ain't interested in it no more. The ones that we normally go out, knock on their door, and they ain't been in church in 20 years. I saved 20 years ago. Where you been? They've departed. They've departed. Notice that it is referring, as I already said, to the Antichrist that went out from us. The sad part about this, to me, is that what we find the Scriptures teaching us here is that our worst enemies come from within, Delmer. It's the ones that have been here. The ones that have saw what God can do. And what they've done, Creston, is said no to that. And then they go out, and then they bring down the church. They're the ones that cause the problem. It's not the sinners out there that have never been saved. They're not the problems. We go out and love on them, and you know what they do? They appreciate it. You go out and love on somebody who's departed from the faith, who hates God, who hates it. They just make fun. They poke. They say, well, look at so-and-so, and look at so-and-so, and look at so-and-so. I saw this happen in church. This is why I don't go to church. That's the way it is. It's a different type of witnessing. And those people have chosen to depart and walk away. And understand, the Bible says they weren't of us. If they were really of us, what would they have done? They would have no doubt. John says, nope, they would have continued with us. But they weren't of us. They went outside. And so be careful. If you're here today, you've got hard feelings toward this church or whatever,
Don't be one of these people that depart and go out. I mean, be miserable. I mean, them people's miserable. You ever go talk to one? To know the truth and to turn away from it and walk away. Can you imagine how miserable a life that is? Miserable. And man, you talk to them, they'll twist. They'll take the truth and man, they'll grab it and they'll twist everything to try to fit their feelings because they didn't want to do what the Bible says. Didn't want to do the truth. They didn't want to follow it. Let's look at some examples of this. Paul did a great job telling us about it over there in 1 Timothy. So just go back with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 through 5. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, here we go again, the latter times shall some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. There you go, twisting the truth, which God hath created to be revealed with thanksgiving, or received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So here Paul warns Timothy of those that have departed from the faith. Now, that doesn't mean they've departed salvation, but they were in the realm of faith, in the teachings. They were hearing the truths of God. And they chose to go with seducing spirits. And they were led away. And so they believed things that were not the truth. And so that word depart means to leave or go away from. In other words, what that tells me is they was real close to it at one time. But Creston, they turned and went away. They left it. First Timothy, just flip over with me. I know they're here and that's okay. But I want to finish this little portion right here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have what? Erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That word err means to wander, to deviate, to miss the right way, to mistake. You know, they had an opportunity to go the right way. But when they were confronted with the love of money, they chose to go the wrong way. They erred. In other words, they went the wrong direction. Folks, that's a dangerous thing. To hear the truth and to know it, and to err and go after something else. But that's what the devil will do. He'll put those things in front of you. And then in 2 Timothy 4:10, we've referenced it several times. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said, having what? Loved this present world. Forsaken, that means desert, abandon. Just leave. Just call it quits. Departed. Left. Forsook him. And here's what I find interesting in Philemon chapter 1, verse 24. Paul calls Demas a fellow laborer. Notice that? He's a fellow laborer. Paul didn't even know what Demas would do. That's scary, ain't it, preacher? I think I know Brother Kevin. And he thinks he knows me. But I don't know what's in his heart. Now, I mean, I've been around him long enough. I think we're okay. But you understand, Paul thought Demas was okay. But Demas decided one day, Christ is not enough. I'd prefer the world. And he departed, forsook him. And we don't know, folks. We just don't know. But I'm about done, guys. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 and 30 through 39. The Bible says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. That's how the people that are right with God, you know how they live? They live a life of faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition. We're not of them. Nope. But of them that believe to what? The saving of the soul. Well, if you're saved, we're not of them that draw back to perdition. Now, there may be times that we err, we step off to the side a little bit or whatever, but you rest assured, God won't allow you to stay there. And if you ever want to be miserable, you try to do that for a while. And you will find some misery. But just flip on over there. I want everybody to understand this. Hebrews chapter 12. Never forget this. Hebrews 12 verse 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he does what? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons." It's a good thing. "For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" He said, boy, you wouldn't be much of a son if God didn't correct you. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers," so all sons are partakers of chastisement, "then are you bastards and not sons." You're either a son or you're not a son. You're one or the other. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" He says, if we reverence our parents who corrected us, how much more should we reverence our Father which is in heaven? So much the more. "For they verily for a few days," he's talking about our parents, our physical parents, "chastened us after their own pleasure. But he," that means the Lord, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but it's grievous," the Bible says. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So if you get a spanking from the Lord, understand it's going to yield some fruitful works of righteousness in your heart. And "wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." In other words, take some correction. Take some correction. And I won't turn there. You all know the passages, and we'll quit. But Jesus said over in John chapter 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." They said, he said, "A stranger they will not follow." And he said, nobody's able to pluck them out of his Father's hands. He's greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of his hands. And he said, "I and my Father are one." And so we can rest assured as sons, as children of God, that if he's correcting us and helping us along the way to get things right, man, that's a comforting thought, comforting experience. But if you're here today and God never corrects you and you're prone to wander, just don't care nothing about the things of God, you're in a dangerous place. Remember, yes, we're in the last times. And just any time Christ could come and get the church. And at that point, it's too late for you if you've heard the gospel. So I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. I know that that's not no shouting Sunday school lesson, that the Antichrist is coming. But it's still yet truth. And I hope y'all take heed to it. I know it's good for me to refresh on these things. It keeps my mind where it needs to be. So we'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray back there in the hallway, in the fellowship hall.